This short Bible study tidbit is presented by Mary Alta, a member of New Hope Community Church.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then, God sent a flood to destroy every living being on the earth, except for Noah and his family, 8 people. He also provided for the animals as they, 2 by 2, were on the ark of safety. Those in the beginning were told to populate the earth. Those were also the words spoken to Noah and his family. So basically, it is back to square one, except that there are animals and there are 8 people instead of 2. There is also a promise with this beginning. It is found in Genesis 8:21 and 22, which says, "I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Another difference is that God made a covenant with Noah and all flesh that is on the earth. It is found in Genesis 9:11-13, which says, "I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth." This flood was worldwide, which tells us that there were people in what is now North America, South America, Australia. Well, you get the idea. Now, somewhere in the Middle East, it begins again as it was in the beginning. There is no Garden of Eden this time. The family must work to survive, and survive they do. It was at this time also that God expanded their diet. This is found in Genesis 9:3, which says, "Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you as I have the green plant." It is important to remember the passage of time and that we are not given every detail. We know what Noah did, and we know that his sons and their wives had children, but not everyone is mentioned. We also do not know how long it was before the people assembled in the plain of Shinar and decided to build the Tower of Babel. Remember, they were told to populate the earth, not just that area. In fact, Genesis 9:7 says this, "As for you, be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it." It was not God's plan for them to stay together in one place. The thing that allowed them to do this was that they all had the same language. So when they made the decision to build the Tower of Babel, God intervened. I want to spend just a minute on the Tower of Babel. Why is it called that? I know that it is tied up with Babylon, but think about this. In English, we have the word Babel. It is spelled differently, I know, but what does that word mean? According to the dictionary, it means to utter meaningless or unintelligible sounds. So when all of a sudden people were talking to you and you couldn't understand what they were saying, doesn't that fit the definition of Babel? But the remarkable thing is, there would be those who could understand you, and so you would naturally stay with them. And the tendency would be for each group that spoke a different language to kind of go off by itself. So in this way, God caused them to scatter, and scatter they did. Where exactly they went, all of them, we do not know. How they got where they were, we do not know. But people were all over the earth. It is important to realize that Noah lived 350 years after the flood. What he did in those years is not recorded, but it is logical to assume he had more children who had children. His 3 sons who are mentioned are the ones who survived the flood with him, and all of them are having children. Just a thought. We count ourselves blessed if we have great-grandchildren. How many greats do you suppose Noah had in his lifetime? But I digress. Back to the scripture. There is yet another similarity with the in the beginning account. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And here in Genesis 11:7, we read this, Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech. This is a reminder that God is three in one, that the entire Godhead is involved. And though they are separate entities, they are one. When we pray to one, we pray to all. They are all involved. Think about that and check it out as you just keep reading. Thank you for sharing this time with me. Have a blessed day.